Welcome to the first webcast for the Leeds Report. This is Ken Lambert, Executive Sales Manager for the Leeds Report. I'm on the phone here with Paul Mesmer, the owner of the Leeds Report, as well as Tom House, architect and AIA member from New Hampshire. And I want to give a quick intro to both of these gentlemen. Hi, Paul.
Yes.
And hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Doing well. We're just going to talk a little bit about the state of the commercial construction market currently right now, which is what we're all involved with, obviously, on a day-to-day basis. But I want to give a quick little intro to who's on the call. Tom House is a principal of THA Architects in Stratham. He's been an architect for 23 years. Tom's done a lot of work in active adult and a bunch of other commercial aspects in mostly eastern Massachusetts and all of New Hampshire. Tom, anything else you want to add as far as your line of work?
Well, we run the gamut of projects, actually. Like you say, we've done a lot of senior housing projects, CCRCs, which is an acronym for Continuing Care Retirement Communities. And for those of you who don't know what that is independent living apartments, assisted living, and healthcare. And we've also done some working on the medical office buildings and some nursing homes and so forth. Did a lot of condominium projects and multifamily apartments, and a lot of renovations of existing millwork buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that rounds it out.
Yeah, no, that's great. Glad to have you on the call. And Paul, Paul is the owner of the Leeds Report, which has been around for about 2.5 years. Everyone on this call knows what the Leeds Report is. Obviously, we offer different subscription, research, and marketing services for different construction companies, general contractors mostly, as well as architects and other subcontractors. Paul also has owned a company called Able Tradesmen for about the last 15 years, which is a placement service, if you will, for contractors looking to work for general contractors and developers. Paul, you want to add a little bit about some of your experiences?
I've been in the construction industry for all my life, and pretty much talking about the current economic conditions, this is probably the worst I've seen it. I've gone through the late 80s housing bust, and now that we're into the 2010, I'm wondering what the outlook is going to look like for the coming year.
Yeah, exactly, and that's what we're all here for. Just quickly, we'll get into that in 1 second. Just a quick word about myself. I'm a licensed builder out of Massachusetts. I've also been involved in some different real estate development and real estate investing and rehabs. I've gotten involved in the lending industry a bit as well, in the residential and commercial side, so I have a little bit of a interesting feedback on that end. And I guess with that, let's talk about where we're at, I guess. Over the summer, let's talk about that just quickly and then kind of what we're looking at in the fall and then what we're kind of thinking might happen or hoping might happen in the spring. From what I've seen, and Paul, I'm sure you would agree, and I don't know about Tom, this past summer, July and August, was pretty slow as far as new construction activity out there, just sort of the activity out there in general and inquiries was pretty low. Do you find the same thing, Tom?
Well, I think I'm sort of a one-person firm here, but so I'm actually keeping pretty busy. I can't speak for larger firms because they have a lot more to think about. But I've actually been pretty busy, Ken. There's people actually out there starting to do some subdivisions. And then, there's people doing some retail renovations of some existing buildings as well as doing some teardowns and building new retail stores.
Mm. Yeah.
There's also people still doing some working on someone that's doing a duplex condo and the possibility of doing an assisted living facility in Maine. So,
yep.
And then, of course, I've been keeping up, Ken, as you know, I've been keeping up with other things along the way, too. I have a lot of parties in diligence, too, so.
Yeah, exactly, and we'll talk in a little bit about how you're finding these projects, Tom, and kind of what you've been doing lately to try to kind of keep the pipeline up. Paul, I know you and I talk a lot with different general contractors, mostly in all different parts of the country, not just, you know, up here in New England, which we're based out of. And, you know, from what I've seen and doing a lot of my sales calls and outreach, I mean, July was okay, but August, it was almost like there were people, you know, took off to the lake house for 2 weeks and sort of just forgot about everything. That was kind of, you know, that was my impression. There wasn't a lot of people around, wasn't a lot of people that were really looking to do too much. What do you think about
that? The summer months were very, very slow. I mean, New Hampshire's actually fortunate because I think they have the lowest unemployment rate of the country. You know, we're dealing with clients pretty much across the East Coast, Texas, Nevada, Arizona, and a lot of those areas there, they're hurting pretty badly. And you know, figuring with the summer and everything, that, you know, there hasn't been really much confidence in the markets. With us coming into the fall, we're anticipating some sort of activity there because of a new year coming up, an election year.
Yep.
So hopefully that gives a little more optimism for the future.
Yeah, I mean, what we've talked with, and I know, Paul, you and I have talked about this a lot, many times, from even talking to these different, you know, general contractors throughout the country, a lot of them were looking for kind of after Labor Day, you know, let's get the ball rolling with different marketing and different, you know, being more interested in bidding opportunities come September. I kept on hearing that over the summer. So I think that that's a good sign that they kind of see that there's more out there, at least available to bid. And let's just talk a little bit about the bidding situation and the bidding atmosphere right now. I've heard time and time again that, like over the last year and a half, over the last 2 years, that in, you know, private commercial construction, especially lately, it's been all about, you know, it's all about bidding low and low bid, even more so than it usually is. Obviously, there's a lot of companies out there, contracting companies, that are really hurting, that are looking just to take anything they can get. That's what I have heard many times from different subs and different GCs. Are you finding that same attitude out there, Paul?
Well, what I find that a lot of contractors are complaining that there's too much competition.
Yeah.
The stronger contractors are pretty optimistic about being able to survive this and then kind of weed out the competition. And then from the client side, hiring, I think that they're looking at, if they're hiring a contractor, how financially stable are they? So I think right now they're having a lot of competition as far as the bidding area. But I think, like, what's going to happen is things are going to pan out where clients are going to become a lot more selective about who they hire because of the economics, because they don't want to get a contractor involved that may have financial issues. So right now I think the pricing is an issue because there's a large quantity of people interested in these projects. But I think if we have these tough times, I think what's going to happen is the client side hiring is going to be looking more at the finances of the contractors and maybe shy away from the low bid area where, you know, they have an abundance of contractors looking at jobs.
Yeah, I think that's a good take on it. You talked a little bit about pricing. I'll talk a little bit about the other end of that, which is costs and construction costs. And Tom, I'll get your take on this in a minute. But, you know, what I've seen looking around, doing a little bit of research, is that for the most part, construction costs, raw materials, and including skilled and unskilled labor, has actually been rising a little bit if you look at it kind of the last year, kind of year over year, which I find a little odd considering that, you know, in our markets, you know, the commercial market, there hasn't been a lot of activity in the private commercial market. But I think because there's still public construction projects going on and there's still other parts of the world that we're competing against for these different raw materials, the costs, you know, are not going down like you would think with a kind of a low demand area in the U.S. anyways. I mean, Tom, how much do you think that construction costs have to do with whether a new project actually gets off the ground and breaks ground?
I think it's got everything to do in the world to get a project off the ground is the construction cost. What I've heard probably maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'm not quite sure when you got your information, Ken, but
yeah.
I've been talking to a contractor where the labor costs are still down.
Okay.
However, there are some building materials that have either stabilized or they've actually started to creep up a little bit. You recall a while ago that, for example, gypsum wallboard materials, that's been going sky high. Then for a while there, it sort of, you know, it leveled off a little bit, and now I'm hearing that it's starting to creep up again along with the steel. So you're right in the materials that they're starting to creep up a little bit. But the last I heard, Ken, is that the labor, maybe it depends on who I heard it from, but the labor is still low. It's but, you know, there's going to be a point where it is going to come back up again.
Right, right, of course. Yeah, I mean, what I was looking at was kind of a national average, which obviously there's differences in different sectors, different areas, so.
Yeah, I was thinking more local, so.
Yeah, I'm looking at, you know, we work and service nationally, so I'm trying to look at it a little bit too from a national end as much as I can. And, you know, with that said, I know I mentioned that I've done some lending work in the past, and, you know, I think it's very important when general contractors and architects are looking at, well, where my next project's going to be, to have a little bit of an idea, which we try to do here at the Leeds Report. Well, who is lending, and who is lending for what type of projects in the commercial market? Again, we don't deal with really the single family residences. We're looking at other projects. You know, multifamily would be okay, but. You know, this has been the same for probably at least a year. The trends right now are, you know, as far as construction lending, generally speaking, this is kind of, again, looking at it nationally, hotels are a big no. There's an overabundance of hotels, and there's the vacancy rates in hotels are very, very high, so there's not many new hotels being built, if any. There's actually one in the town right next to me, which is a rarity. So that would be a tough area. Some of the good or kind of okay, decent areas that I've heard that are still lending, assisted living facilities, student housing, you know, for colleges and universities, mixed-use buildings, multifamily buildings, and energy-related projects. You know, so we've heard a lot about, you know, green energy, you know, green building and green projects. And so there are still, you know, wind farms, that kind of thing. There are different things going on in that sector. So as far as looking, you know, trying to go scout out for new work, I think those are good to keep an eye on. You know, the banks are pretty smart usually. You know, what do they want to fund? And, you know, I would definitely keep that in mind. Next, I just want to talk a little bit about where you think we're heading in 2011. You know, come in the Northeast and the Northern country, the winter can be kind of long and hard here, but then we always look towards the spring as far as construction activity. Tom, what do you think about spring 2011 as far as, you know, private commercial construction?
I spoke to some people from the CIBOR group. CIBOR is CIBOR, which is the acronym for Commercial Investment Board of Realtors.
Okay, yeah.
Some people, you know, it's still a mix. Some people are still reluctant, but some people are thinking that this is going to be pretty much staying where it's going to stay for the next year or two as far as some commercial stuff. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm keeping busy. I mean, there's tons of things that I could work on. You mentioned about for an architect or the building industry, you know, which is coming up. Well, this is perfect time to get us involved with the design and so forth, and get all the construction documents and get it ready for a spring groundbreaking.
Exactly,
That's what we look towards.
Paul, what do you think about spring of next year? What's your inclination?
Well, I mean, if I had my magic ball here and I could find out the future, I'd be all set. But for my conversation with certain individuals that are in the industry, that are in the technical side, technical field, like original equipment manufacturers that are in the computer industry for the computer industry restocking, they're very busy. So, like, there's a lot of sales right now going on for, like, a lot of robotics and things like that, you know, replenishing equipment.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's a signal for anything down the road, but they've been dead for, like, 4 years now, and now they're starting to find a good uptick in their business. And I'm curious as far as, like, how this new healthcare is going to actually, you know, impact the health industry as far as expansion there.
Yep.
But I don't know where, you know, the housing market's going to go, and also the retail side. a lot of your hospitality industries are over-financed
right.
from you know, a lot of my areas there where a lot of hotels have like they're over-leveraged and they have trouble keeping up on their debt service and things. So I'm not sure where that's going, but your restaurants seem to be doing pretty well. So you know, I think it's a crapshoot as far as what's going to happen in 2011. I think until the housing market actually stabilizes and that starts to move, then I think that's when we would have like a much stronger economy
exactly.
in general.
People need to feel confident, and they got to be confident in their neighborhood and in their house that they're not going to be the next year. It's not going to be worth 10% less or 15% less. But just also, it's a jobs thing, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, if what they're experiencing in the technical side is just restocking inventory
mm-hmm.
needs, not demand needs, then I don't know how long that would be sustainable.
But now we're going to kind of shift gears a little and talk about, you know, how do we find new work and new projects? And, you know, most of our customers are general contractors and some larger subcontractors. But we do have a number of design firms, you know, such as yourself. And with the design firms, it's even, as I talk to a lot of GCs, it's even harder, I think, for an architect to find new work. How do you get involved in new projects? And maybe you could just tell us a little bit about, you said that you've been staying pretty busy in the last year or so, and how do you go out and find new work?
If I can just back up for one quick second
yeah,
before I
answer. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Getting back to the to 2011 outcome, I was just talking mostly about commercial. And to follow up with Paul, I do have some people that are talking to me about doing some subdivisions. Mm-hmm. They're a lot smaller homes.
Yeah.
1,800 to 2,400 square foot homes, but they're smaller homes in their subdivisions. And I spoke to a civil engineer who's starting to pick up on doing some subdivision work as well. So
right.
I think there is something there. It's just I think commercial is falling into the same pit, if you will, that
yeah.
the housing did a short while ago. And I
yeah.
think it's just going to take a little bit more time to catch up. To answer your question you just mentioned, how do we find work?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's just getting involved with your communities. It's networking with other professionals such as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to a few networking groups, and a lot of good things come out of that. And let's see how else. It's just keep in touch with the community, basically. And
yeah.
For me as an architect, civil engineers are great people to keep in front of.
Sure.
Realtors are always a good person to keep in front of because they tend to know a little bit more of what's happening in sort of their realm of expertise.
Yep, good point.
And like I said, civil engineers, because they do a lot of the subdivisions, and many times clients will go to them first because they need to get to check out the site, make sure it works.
Right.
And also other people would be zoning attorneys or construction managers.
Yep, no, those are all good points. And Tom, just for anyone, Tom and I actually belong to a local kind of referral leads group that is focused in this region. And there's, you know, an architect, there's a general contractor in it, there's a commercial real estate attorney, there's a commercial realtor, there's a number of other people. And it's really great for seeing what kind of developments are going to be happening in the area. And that's just, you know, we get together once a month. And, you know, if there's not a group like that in your area, you know, I would suggest starting one, or at least, you know, brainstorming with a few people that you already know or do some business with, because it does, it's a great way to stay in touch and find out really what's going on out there. And, you know, in today's economy, which a lot of companies have a pretty tight marketing budget, normally it's free, so it's not a bad thing. I want to bring Paul in here a little bit now and talk about the same topic, business development. It's kind of going over more to the general contractor side, which would still work for the architectural firms. But, you know, Paul, what are some of the things that you would recommend for, you know, a general contractor that's saying, hey, where am I going to get my next project or my next two projects?
Well, for a general contractor, all those medias that as far as a referral, social media is good. Best thing, though, is like your networking and building relationships with individuals. Those are going to be your strongest resource for work. If you're doing the bid cycle, then you're just doing the bidding, and you get kind of a number as far as looking at the projects, and what happens a lot of times, the people that have the relationships are usually on the top of favor, and everyone else is just kind of like their gauge to their pricing. So
right.
Negotiating the project and creating those relationships is very, very big. And the way to do that is you need to know about the projects early on to start developing those relationships. If you're starting to call on a project that already has the bid documents, I think you're a little bit behind favor with regards to, like, when they get all their pricing in, it's not going to be low bid guarantee. So when they look at all the numbers, you know, they're usually going to know which contractors they're going to want to work with.
Right.
So
and then
getting the information
the other
early.
They're using the other ones as a gauge and to keep their preferred contractor honest to some extent.
Yeah, and then the other thing too is to try to find niche markets too, because I track a lot of the bidding that goes on, and it's usually the same contractors who always seem to be going after the same style of jobs. Where you know, if you get into a niche market and you have a client that does a lot of work, then I think that's where you want to bid. Mm-hmm. You want to find out about the jobs early, and you want to develop the relationship so that way you have that flow of work from that area on a consistent
right.
basis.
In the general construction world, general contracting world, I mean, how important is it to have a website presence? And is it important to be putting any efforts or money or time into, you know, search engine optimization? We hear about that with so many other different industries and retail and other different sites. Is that something that you see kind of coming on as we move forward for GCs, or is that kind of in other industries?
I think that the search engine optimization is good for the quick sales or lead development, but as far as the actual purchasing of, like, contractor services, I don't think the search engine optimization is as important for their website. But I don't think that, you know, if you're talking about larger jobs, people aren't making snap decisions on what they're doing.
Exactly.
If you're talking about a smaller job or a service-oriented type of company, then search engine optimization is going to be crucial for them to be on top as far as a keyword search for what they do.
Yeah,
but I think for
if you're talking about an irrigation contractor in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, that's very specific, and you know, someone may do a search on Google or Yahoo, and if you come up first or second or third, you may get that first call from whether it is a developer or a homeowner or somebody else, right?
Yeah, I would have to say that it would really depend upon the type of service, because if I'm looking for some substantial work to be done at my home, I may do some online research and select who I may want to work with based upon what their website's saying. But being on top may not be as important as if, you know, my toilet's clogged or my lights go out in the house and I need
right.
immediate service. So, you know, your search engine optimization really should be used, you know, depending upon what your business model is.
Mm-hmm.
And then also if you're looking for, you know, general leads. So if you're a larger company but you're looking for general leads, then you may want to do some sort of a supplement site to actually do that with, as opposed to use your main site.
Right. Well, we're going to wrap up in a little bit here, but just a few quick items that I want to talk about. Some of the old standbys. As far as advertising, marketing, I want to get both your quick opinions on whether it's worth putting money and effort into, or is it kind of has that time passed for where we're at now in 2010? Tom, do you do any print advertising, or is that really not important in your mind these days?
I absolutely do. It's never a bad time to do it. You always want to do something like that, Ken. Even actually when times are slow, you want to keep on going. You don't want to let up. As you develop your projects, either if they're in the schematic design phase, you want to be able to put together project sheets. And I have a brochure I think I've shown you once before.
Yep. Yep.
That even if you want to just slip in some sheets of projects that are ongoing that you're working on, it's always a good idea to have those and to pass them out to people as you meet them at these networking groups and so forth.
Right.
I think it's extremely important.
Paul, what do you think about print advertising and or even like, you know, newspaper advertising, let's say, for a GC?
I think it really depends upon their business model and who they're going after as far as their business. Depending upon what your model is, you really have a lot of things working against you, because you have the yellow pages, you have newspapers, you may even have diner place card, you know, placement
yeah.
maps that have the advertising on it.
Right.
You need to be kind of everywhere, depending upon If you're consumer based, you need to be everywhere.
Yeah.
If you're commercial based, I think you can target your market a lot better, where you can spend more money on like nicer brochures.
Yeah.
Because then once you're talking to a client, you want to give them something that they can take home or take back to their office that looks good, that they're going to hang on to. But you may not need to be in all these different places, you know, as far as visibility for them, for branding at all.
Right.
So it really depends on your business model.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're actually a smaller contractor, I think it's actually harder because you need to be in more places to capture that consumer. Where
yep.
if you're a larger company and you're targeted to a commercial client, you can actually be more effective with it.
Mm-hmm. One last thing I want to talk about is being in trade associations, whether it's, you know, typically most states have a builders association that a lot of GCs belong to. Do you think it's worth it to be involved in those kind of associations? I know someone who is on the board at local Boston Greater Builders Association, and she says that, you know, membership is down, you know, attendance is down. It's tough to, you know, in this kind of rough economy over the last 2 years for construction, it's sort of tough to keep, you know, to keep everyone happy and to keep people coming and all that. Do you think it's worth going to those kind of, you know, monthly events, and is that worth it for, you know, getting new work?
Absolutely. But I think, again, it's like, it depends on your business model. So like an architect general contractor would want to belong to, say, like your realtor associations, BOMA, your business owners and managers associations.
Yep.
Your subcontract, you know, if you belong to the ABC, that's great and everything. But, like, it depends where you are on the food chain, because if you're an architect general contractor, you kind of the food for all the subcontractors that belong to the ABC or the AGC.
Exactly.
So,
right.
You know, I think, like, if you're looking for business, you need to establish yourself in the associations that are you can feed from. So it'd be, you know, architect general contractors would be realtors, developers, business owners. You'd want to be part of their association.
Yeah.
And then if you want to have that network that you work with below, you belong to the other association, so you have a presence there also. But I don't think there's any one path, you know, a company can take.
Yeah.
It really depends upon what their model is.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that, and I'll get to Tom in a second. Tom and I actually belong to the state's Real Estate Investors Association. That's another good group. Most states will have a REIA, they call them, and, you know, there's some people in there that do, you know, a lot of people do residential stuff, but a lot of the people there have land. They want to develop the land. There are some commercial properties being talked about and invested in and transferred in those groups, and I think that that's a good idea as well. Tom, any other last thoughts on, you know, good groups to belong to if you're, you know, let's say an architect or...
Let's see. Well, the Builders Association is always a good one for most builders and architects. I think one that perhaps an organization or a group, I should say, that many people seem to overlook, or maybe I could be wrong, and that's your local chamber of commerce. You can tend to get a lot of work on something like that, and I belong to one, and I seem to be the only architect that's a member now.
Okay.
So there's always an opportunity for me to get out there and talk to people and be a part of that chamber and go to all the business after hours or the morning mixers and things like that.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, you and Paul have already touched on the biggies already. I think also for a contractor, you may want to get involved with your local chapter of the AIA, which is the American Institute of Architects.
Okay.
I think a lot of GCs want to get in front of architects, and I think a lot of architects want to get in front of GCs and also construction managers. So I think there's a way that there could be a synergy off of two groups where they can work together and build relationships.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I think that's good. We kind of talked a little bit about what's going on now and how people are generating business and new projects. And the next portion of our call will be talking to different general contractors that are actually customers of the Leeds Report, and we'll be asking them how they're doing currently and what they're seeing in the market and what they're seeing with their businesses. But that's for another call.